What if there's a reason for why Tesla Motors named themselves after Tesla? What if they know how the Piercero car works? The Piercero demonstration of 1931. But they implemented it with a twist. They added a battery pack in place of the aerial to keep it conventional, to keep people thinking they're tied to the grid, they're tied to paying through the nose for their electricity, when in reality they could have gotten it from an aerial just like Tesla did and never have to pay anybody for their electrical needs. I say that because there was a guy, I think it was Adams, when he made the Adams motor, someone, it might have been him, in conversation with Bedini or somebody else, you know what, he gave the advice, build your over-unity device, but don't tell anybody. Don't ever admit that it's over-unity. And Bedini's technique was to incorporate his use of, I guess what he called radiant energy, into his audio system technology that he sold, but he never told the consumer, the purchaser of that equipment, that it was in there. Yet it increased performance of the high fidelity to a very remarkable degree. So when they do their battery chargers that Aaron Murakami and Peter Lindemann continue to sell on behalf of the deceased John Bedini, who contributed all the circuitry in the design, they include a plug. They design it, John Bedini designed it in such a way, the battery chargers, I think it's called TeslaChargers.com, where they sell it, they included a plug and a design parameter requiring the plug such that, despite the fact that it doesn't need to be plugged into an AC outlet, in theory, if it was designed a slightly different way, it was designed to be dependent on being plugged into the wall outlet in order to keep it conventional, in order to keep it to appear to be normal. Because in today's world, the competition is quite fiercely against anything that would become independent of the grid in a substantial way. You know, and not be alternative in the standard way, namely wind and rain, tidal and solar, you know, all those things, thermal, all those conventional alternatives that are highly regulated and by law, and there's no way you can get around those standard alternatives without being regulated. Your device is highly regulated. So what did Tesla do? They put a battery pack that was designed for a laptop or a cell phone, and they stick it in a car to make it look normal. But what happened with a lot of these cars? Some of them, in the early days in particular, they had the same trouble that the Leaf had. They caught fire. Gee, why is that? Because of the surge. They're dealing with Pandora's box. They're dealing with a surge. They're dealing with a shorted motor, a motor transformer, which becomes its own generator. But in doing so, they run the risk of the batteries blowing up due to the surge. How about that? The ability for the motor to create a surge, its own self-destruction. Now, there is a way around it, and I suspect it's simply to multiply the main coils beyond bifilar. Why? Because there's an article. You can look it up. On how the Tesla Motors motor is designed. They don't tell you all the secrets that they, you know, possibly made use of the starter coils, opening them up and including them in the circuitry. and then shorting out all the coils to each other. But they do admit to having multiple, many, it's something like 1,000 or several thousand or, I don't know, parallel strands on the main winding of the main coil. Let's just say hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of parallel strands. There must be a reason why. You know, motor coils tend to have more than two strands anyway. But are they wired in parallel? There's the rub. This has to be in parallel to create separate strands, separate main coils. Otherwise, if they're in series, it's just one strand that's been wound on multiple poles of the motor. But if they're separate, in parallel, connected, wired in parallel, then we've got ourselves a multiple stranded main coil. But beyond two, in order to reduce efficiency, beyond bifilar, because bifilar is the worst, in which the surge is humongous. Because there may be no way to use a switch, as I thought would be the case, to control the surge. Because no matter where you put the switch, all it does is push the surge elsewhere where the switch is not. So the area nearby the switch is protected, but the area not nearby ends up with the burden of the surge. No matter where it ends up someplace else. So switching may not be the answer, but spreading out the burden in parallel across many coils, because what is a surge? It's current. It ain't voltage, even though it shows up as voltage. It shows up as voltage only because I looked at the voltage. I didn't bother to look at the amperage. But in terms of the activity of a surge, I doubt it's voltage driven. I bet it's driven by current, because that's how this motor design gets its extra oomph anyway, is by applying the voltage source to the starter coils, not to the main coil, as we conventionally do in a standard, you know, electric motor, in which the standard electric motor is driven by voltage, because that's what we do. We feed it the voltage to the main coils, which are voltage oriented. You know, you just look at an electromechanical watt hour meter. It's got a voltage coil and a current coil, and they're vastly different in design and how they're wired to the device. And if you start putting your voltage source against the main coil of a motor, you are driving the motor with voltage for the most part. But if you put your voltage source by the starter coils, open them up and connect them to the circuit, and put the voltage source there by the starter coils, now you're driving the motor, even though it's a voltage source, you're driving the motor with current, but not current coming from the voltage source, but current coming from the main windings, stepping down their voltage, creating current. Now everything is in parallel. The main coils are in parallel, the bifilar, and the starter coils are in parallel. Everything's in parallel. So, and increasing the starter coils to 8, see, now that's another thing. The more starter coils you add beyond 8, the efficiency goes down. The overunity starts at a bifilar winding on the main coil and a triple parallel winding on this for the starter coils. Two main and two voltage coils and three current coils. That's where the surge begins. So any quantity of multiple coils added to either the starter coils or the main coils or both, I'm not sure which, I haven't tried this out yet, will in theory spread the surge out in parallel among all of the additional multiple coils. And each coil offers resistance of its own. Now you would think that when you add extra resistance in parallel, the resistance goes down, but actually efficiency goes down. So it's only when you're at the minimum of three starters and two main coils that the efficiency is the highest. But that's, in all likelihood, where the surge is highest too. So that's my guess estimate for a few different things. So would somebody be breaking their patent if they decided to go commercial with this idea? Would the lawyers representing Tesla Motors come after you? I don't know. You know, those of us who think about these things think that it's a joke that they called their car after Tesla. But it's not a joke, because I suspect it's true that all the gain of the PureCell demonstration is in the motor, for the most part. And the Project Box was trivial by comparison to what it contributed to the situation. Very trivial. It got it started, and it made it independent of paying anybody through the nose for your electrical costs. But that's it. It did not create the amplification. It's the motor. It's all in the motor. I've been saying this for a little while. It's all in the motor. And it could be that's the part, the only part that matters. Anyway. So if it's true, that means the battery pack ends up with all of the current problem. See, with an aerial, you can try to dissipate it. And that's what the 6-foot mast on the backside of the PureCell, 1931 PureCell, was doing. It was attempting in a feeble way, not a very efficient way. Richard Hackenberger came up with a much more efficient way. But Tesla may have been sloppy and was because he felt he could get away with it because the FCC didn't exist yet. So he could afford to be sloppy. I shouldn't blame Tesla, you know. He could afford to be sloppy that first time. Subsequent to that, no more. 3 years later, with the institution of the FCC in 1934. So he could afford to be sloppy, and so he was sloppy in his dissipation of excess current coming out through the aerial in the form of electrostatic interference, or maybe possibly electromagnetic as well, I suppose, or any combination thereof, ratio proportion. But without that aerial, now you're doing the same thing the EV Gray team did as a mistake in the beginning before their second raid, their FCC raid, in which they tried to dump all the excess energy into batteries and they were blowing them up. That may be the only reason why the battery pack is divided the same way they do the motor, in many, 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 many modules to distribute the surge that's attacking it so that it won't blow up, hopefully, rather than trying to get it out of the circuitry by a more efficient method, such as what Richard Hackenberger figured out, according to Mark McKay. Compressed air blown across a floating capacitor. Well, partially floating. One plate is floating and the other plate is connected to the circuit, magnetically coupled, not electrically. So a loose coupling, you might say. And it's in the patent. The braces, aluminum braces that support the multiple, I believe they're the stator coils, on the EV Gray motor, they're one floating plate because they're not electrically connected. In fact, they're electrically isolated, but they become magnetically charged, and then the other plate is the chassis, and there's a Teflon lining on the inside of the aluminum chassis, and then compressed air is blown through the interior of the motor housing. So it's not sloppy like Tesla's aerial, in which you've got 90 mile per hour wind, or 50 mile, or whatever speed the car is going at, blowing across an aerial that has very little surface area. Even though it has height, it has very little surface area. It doesn't have a flat surface like the interior of the chassis of the EV Gray motor has, nor the surface area of all the coils and whatnot that the compressor is blowing across. So you get, I mean, compressed air is a lot more than 90 miles per hour. And so you get a lot of ionization converting the electromagnetic interference into charged ions. And you end up with a situation in which the FCC will be happy with you. So they may be making the same, though, prior error when they didn't do, when Richard Hackenberger didn't do that yet, and they were dumping all their energy into batteries and blowing them up. That might be what they're doing, but they think they can get away with it, and maybe they can, relativistically speaking, by increasing the number of modules of the battery pack to distribute it in parallel. Because when you do things in parallel, you cut the current, its current division. And that's where I suspect the surge is arising from. Current, not voltage. You know, you can get a voltage buildup by using certain types of over-unity designs, namely Eric Dollard's LMD module, his analog computer in longitudinal magnetodielectric mode. That is a voltage-oriented surge device. It surges voltage. Or Bewley's archetype, as I prefer to call it, the variation on Eric Dollard's LMD module. The Bewley archetype, a ring of four capacitors and a minimum of two coils, although you can have more as an outer ring and capacitors as an inner ring, that builds up voltage, and it builds it up very superbly, so that it becomes a lightning it can become a lightning oscillator, somehow. I've done it in Paul Falstead's simulator, but not in MicroCap. Anywho, that's a voltage-oriented over-unity device. It's building up voltage, but in this Tesla Piercera motor design, the shorted motor in which the starter coils are involved as part of the circuitry, and everything is inverted as to where you put your voltage source, it's a little different. It's current-oriented. And so it's current that you want to divide, and that's why the gain goes down when you add too many parallel main coils and parallel starter coils, because they're dividing the current. But now that I'm correctly simulating the device accurately, such that the surge manifests because of the multiple relationship that the rotor has with the main coil. See, it's, yeah, the starter coils won't do it. That's right. Because I did all of, actually, that'll kill it. That kills the motor, actually, when you make the relationship too strong. But of course, the starter coils don't have any voltage to them, so they can't be too strong. But that's what kills the surge. Well, it kills the motor, let alone the surge. So maybe you don't connect all of your starter coils to the circuitry electrically, so that if they have a magnetic connection with the rotor coil, and I suspect they all do, by not having them electrically connected, so now that only the magnetic field is coupled to all of the starter coils, while the electric field is not, you regulate how many starter coils are electrically connected. You know, electricity is made up of the electric field and the magnetic field, and so you toy with them separately to regulate a surge. So that might be how it's regulated. And maybe they have switching, connecting or reconnecting various parallel strands of either starter coils or main coils to regulate the surge. It could be, and if it can't regulate it fast enough, then the surge gets out of hand momentarily, and then you've got a battery blow up. You know, it could all go out the aerial if it were not for the FCC getting in the way of them developing a compressed air technology to dissipate any kind of electromagnetic surge arising from current surging. Because that's how you make the FCC happy. You don't make them happy by taking away the aerial and putting in a many parallel module battery pack. That's not the way to do it. So they're not even doing it the right way. Well, but they have to, because they have to keep it a secret that this thing is not getting its energy from the battery. It's simply using the battery as a dump to dump the excess surged energy that this motor is capable of producing. The surge, the overunity surge. That's what they're doing. They're trying to hide it. And that is the only way to do it. The only way to hide it. There's no other way. I mean, they could use dead batteries, then at least they won't blow up. But then, see, then they wouldn't be able to keep it a secret, could they? That it doesn't even need a battery pack. Certainly not that size. No, if they're using it as a dump, they could have used dead batteries, and that would have been safer. Oh, well. This is what happens when you try to work at cross-purposes to yourself. Because on the one hand, they're trying to maintain the status quo in society of ignorance, general ignorance. And on the other, they've got themselves a highly efficient motor that is over unity by design. And when you start monkeying with motives and try to go in opposite directions simultaneously, of course it's going to create a strain. It's going to have to give some way or another. So I'm not sure I'd want to buy a Tesla Motors car. I got on their list many years ago when they were first about to come out, just for fun, you know, because I knew I couldn't afford it, you know, come on. But I was so attracted, you know, that I just had it just for show, just to show myself that I was interested. I just got on the list, you know, the waiting list. The very first model that came out. Little did I know that I would figure out how it works and figure out the Piercera demonstration at the same time. But of course I had to go through Newman to do it. And an article on Wikipedia on inductors and I forget what it's called. In which you take a capacitor. No, it's a resistor. I put in a capacitor, that's right. No, you take a resistor and tie it to ground in parallel with a coil. It's, it was called something. I forget what it's called. Anywho. Oh, brother. What a mess we're in. The sorry sight is we don't have a Steinmetz to break the Tesla Motors patent, do we? We just have good old Vinny here, who has not been trained formally in this matter. So I can't put it in a mathematical equation so that electrical engineers could go, oh yeah, thank you, we accept you. No, I just run simulations and let the simulator take care of the math. So who's going to listen to Vinny? I don't have superlatives attached to the end of my name, you know, PhD, MD, whatever. Anything to make me look prominent and resourceful. Oh no, I just have intuition and the ability to figure out anybody's secret if I choose to, if I want to. Yeah, Vesemir. Okay, I guess that's everything. You know, I think I've covered just about everything. So this completes part four of the four-part series on a surge is evidence of overunity. And I guess I have nothing more to say. Of course, I haven't simulated it. But it makes logical sense. Current division is the answer to surge control. It may be without killing the surge, provided it's not the starter coils. And well, no. Provided the starter coils are kept at a coupling coefficient less than the main coils. So if the main, whatever the main coupling coefficient are with the rotor, the squirrel cage rotor, if the main coils are at 10% coupling coefficient, then the starter coils have to be a fraction of that, or else they'll kill the whole thing. In reality, it doesn't matter, surge or no surge, they'll just kill the, because it's the surge that's powering this thing. And so on the one hand, we don't want to kill the surge, but on the other hand, we don't want the surge to get out of hand either and kill the motor by frying it, toasting it, literally, not figuratively. Yeah, this was the issue that Richard Hackenberger had with the development of the E.V. Gray motor. Either dump the excess energy somewhere or the motor fries. They had to get rid of the excess energy because it was surging. So it didn't matter that it was a pulse motor. That was, I mean, in general theory. That probably, you know, it was a DC motor. It was not AC. And so they had to pulse it. But it was still a surging motor, so it was probably shorted. And its starter coils were probably opened up and involved, connected to the circuit, to the wiring of the motor. But in order to operate as a DC device, they had to pulse it. So it's almost a minor detail that it was a pulsed DC motor. It may be more efficient than an AC motor. It may not be. I don't know. I don't know motors that well at all. But the fact is, I think it was a surge-oriented device. It was a shorted motor. Because how hard is it to come up with the idea of a shorting out a motor? Really, now. It's just the simulating of it in an accurate manner has not been that easy for me to develop to the point that I actually exhibit a surge. Then I know I'm getting somewhere. I'm finally becoming a bit more accurate, and it took me a while to develop it to this point. But now in trying to handle the surge, it just means taking away efficiency. That's all. Reducing efficiency to the point that you don't kill the surge, but you don't allow it to get out of hand either. Somewhere in the middle. A happy medium in the middle. But the difference is, like Steinmetz, you break the patent on Tesla's motor. You know, it's funny, when they make the article on Wikipedia that the Nikola Tesla electric car hoax, originally they had a different disclaimer at the top. Now, their disclaimer is not to be confused with the Tesla's motor company. As if it's a clue to give it away. Anybody paying attention? No, we just skip right past that and get to the hoax article. Of course they have to call it a hoax, dummy. They have to, and because now they're admitting it in plain sight that it's the Tesla's motor. They stole Tesla's Pierce-Arrow non-patented idea and went and patented it. They stole it from Tesla. And I guess they give him credit by naming the car after him, right? But that means Tesla's a hoax. Because they'd have to. Because they have to prevent people from using an aerial as their voltage source. They have to use a battery pack of many, many modules. They have to use the delinquent method of distributing the excess current by dividing up the current among multiple groupings of parallel modules, because I'm sure they have a number of them in series, but that's why they have so many, because they're a mixture of both parallel and series in which the modules are connected, wired. They have to have multiple parallel pairings in groupings, pairings, in order to divide the current, divide the surge among them. So they're already dividing the coils, and they have to divide the modules in a certain, at least minimum quantity of parallelism to divide up that current-oriented surge, to break it down. So you're reducing the resistance on each coil, you know, the inductive resistance, the plain resistance, yet it works because you're dividing the current. So you improve efficiency in the sense that your motor and your batteries, for that matter, has less chance of overheating. And when you have less chance of overheating, you have less chance of frying or blowing up batteries. And your impedance goes down. That's good. That's really good. But you are dividing the current. But that's okay, because you're creating an excess that you're trying to get rid of. So it makes sense. It makes sense to do it this way. It makes logical sense. Testing on the simulator, of course, would be proof of the pudding, but just thrashing out this idea in the middle of the night, in the darkness of my bedroom, so you don't have to see anything. I'm just taking audio notes to myself. It makes sense, talking it out. Well, yeah, I can't think of anything that would arise that would jeopardize this, the ontology of this theme. Oh, such big words. Anthology. I'm gonna have to look up that. I'm not even sure I remember what that word means. Anthroposis? I don't know. Anyway, I better shut up now. I'm way over my head. My brain is not Alexis, so I'm not sure I'm even know what anthology means. If it's true that Alan Cocconi of AC Propulsion Incorporated is the inventor of the motor controller for the EV1, and if it's true that he is a silent partner in conjunction partnered with Elon Musk of Tesla Motors, who have inherited the motor controller from the General Motors EV1. And if it's true that Alan Cocconi, in his bid to design the best AC motor for racing cars, such as he loves to do as his hobby, and the Tesla Motors, I forgot to mention this point, does have good acceleration, right? Not just good range per charge of the battery pack, but good acceleration. It's practically a race car. In order to get that acceleration, maybe you need a motor that surges. With current so instantaneously, so rapidly that you are able to balance out the motor properly under high load conditions of acceleration, because that's where your load is going to be highest when you accelerate. It would make sense. It would make sense. So possibly Alan Cocconi has something to do with the design of the Tesla motor, not just the motor controller that goes with it. Just a thought, possibility, might be true. Because I've intuited that the guy might be a little anxious that I might break his secret. Not knowing what the secret was, that was just my hunch. Just a hunch. I mean, he's in the movie, Who Killed the Electric Car. He's interviewed, you know, concerning the history of the development of the EV1, the General Motors EV1 that was crushed. You know, the first generation electric car. That Tom Hanks on the David Letterman show said, "Hey, this thing, you know, really kicks ass on the freeway when you put the pedal to the metal. It rocks." And everybody laughed, ha ha ha, because Tom Hanks was being so explicit in his description of the car's performance. Everybody who had one raved about it, whether it was Danny DeVito or Mel Gibson or Tom Hanks, they all raved about it, their EV1, for the limited time they got to have it. But now anybody can buy a Tesla Motors who has the money, and I suspect the EV1 reincarnated in that in combination with the general idea of a race car, that you're basically driving a race car. And, you know, who among us as an American, right, wouldn't want a race car in their garage? A guy, it's a guy thing, you know. And maybe some ladies, a little old ladies, a little old men, you know, maybe. But a young guy thing to have all this adrenaline rush, having the gravity, what's it called? The, I don't know, for lack of my proper memory, I'll call it the gravity factor involved when you accelerate, right? Your body gets pushed back into your seat because you really feel the thrust on your body, the reaction of thrust upon the body, the change in inertia of the inertial forces acting on the body when you accelerate the car. Your body is way back there and the car is already moving forward. You get pressed back into your seat. So it's a kind of a rush, even though you don't have wind blowing in your hair like you're on a motorcycle. Still, it's a rush because you can feel the effect. Who wouldn't get excited over something that can accelerate so quickly? Yeah, my car, the RAV4 EV, it has a bit slower acceleration rate. So you feel like you're slightly in a Sherman tank, you know? Takes a little while to speed up. But once it gets up to speed, it's so quiet driving an electric car, you don't even hear it. It's so easy to speed, to go over the speed limit and not even recognize that you're doing so. Because the engine doesn't get any louder. If anything, it gets quieter. It's as quiet as a dormouse. It only makes a noise when you accelerate. But once you reach cruising speed, you don't hear a darn thing. It is quiet as a dormouse.